Hi, everybody. This is Ken Wilson. Once upon a time, I broadcast blues hockey. I always listen to Let's Go Blues Radio. It's everything you'll want as a blues fan. Oh, baby.
Stop doing those diet or workout fads to lose weight. Use the tried and true approach from Rockin' That Idea Life that helps you find balance while enjoying food in moderation and nourishing your body. Try the Lean 30 program at rockinthatidealife.com and let today be your last first day of your weight loss journey.
When buying or selling your home, you need to feel protected. Realtor Mike Burgoyne not only looks out for your interests, but as a St. Louis area police officer, will make sure you feel safe and well-informed with every decision. Email Mike at strikewithmike.com and start the process today. That's Mike at strikewithmike.com.
Get ready to hear some noise tonight. You're just seconds away from Let's Go Blues Radio.
Let's have a Donnybrook.
Eric Brewer was so bad.
Are we like Oakville Corp? Are we suspended?
I reciprocated the dickness.
Selfish hockey.
That's right. Selfish hockey.
What did I tell you about stick tape?
You don't need it!
No doubt about it, eh? You're listening to Kurt, Bill, and Jeff on Let's Go Blues Radio, the original St. Louis Blues hockey fan podcast. Take it away, boys.
Welcome to episode 26 of season 13. This is episode number 457 all time of the often imitated, never duplicated. I made a comment earlier tonight that I guess went out over the air that I am deeply ashamed of. If I have hurt anyone out there, I can't tell you how much I say from the bottom of my heart. I'm so very, very sorry. I pride myself and think of myself as a man of faith. As there's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos, it will be a home run, and so that will make it a 4-0 ball game. We're the original St. Louis Blues hockey podcast. Let's Go Blues Radio. Special thanks to our sponsors, Dustin from RockinThatIDLife.com and Realtor Mike Burgoyne, who you can email at Mike@strikewithmike.com for proudly sponsoring the show. Please check them out. Also, don't forget to check out our t-shirt shop at letsgoblues.com for some well-designed and fairly priced blues-themed t-shirts. Check us out on Discord. We are new and improved. That's letsgoblues.com/Discord. It is Wednesday, April 3rd, and we're streaming live on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Austin's parents' bedroom as they turn out the light. Whoa. Wherever you get live video casts. I'm so glad he was here to hear that part. To interact with the show on social media, our handle on all social channels is at LGB Radio. Just search for us and you'll find us. And if you haven't already done so, please like, follow, subscribe, ring the bell, buy a t-shirt from our shop, get an autograph from Bill Day in his next beer league game, or do whatever you can do to help us out. Yes, folks, this is Let's Go Blues Radio, and we are joined by producer Austin. How about that?
Yeah, I'm back. I'm not dead.
I am your host, Jeff Ponder, and of course, as I said, Austin Lynch is here. We are joined by Bill Day and Kurt Price as well. The agenda for tonight includes the Blues race for the playoffs, the Kings hopefully continuing to drop in the standings, a line brawl on the East Coast tonight, all that and more on this wet and wild episode of Let's Go Blues Radio. Blues hockey has become fun again. It's like week to week. You never know what's going to happen. This has been quite the inconsistent season, but I think that's kind of what we all expected.
I mean, you can say what you want about the Blues right now. I think the fact that the Blues are on the outside looking in and it's going to be tough for them to get in, that kind of overshadows the fact the Blues have won 8 of 11 games. So they're playing. I mean, you know, even though they did lose to San Jose, which we'll talk about a little bit, which was ugly as hell. They've been playing some really good hockey lately. I mean, they're putting up wins. So the game they lost against San Jose was not one that you would have expected them to lose. They did beat Edmonton though, so it kind of maybe it's a wash. So
yeah, and Calgary. I mean, that was a nice win there too. So. Right. Mm-hmm.
I think if you were to say, oh, okay, looking ahead like we did last week, like, oh, they might win this one, lose this one, whatever. I think Edmonton was one that we thought they might lose. And and San Jose was one they might win. So in the end, it's the same amount of points, but just it is what it is.
I should have figured they'd win because I was in attendance, and they
I was there too. Thank you.
Yeah, but they are 5-0 with me in attendance this year.
Yeah, they're like 3-2 with me there. So,
oh wow, that's good. So good.
That is, yeah, and one of those losses was the San Jose game. So,
well, there you go. Oh. So shut the hell up. So you're coming off a really bad loss.
What's your point, Austin?
But I don't know.
No point at all there.
It proves that it doesn't matter if you're a good luck charm or not.
Yeah, well, I am a good luck charm. So if they make the playoffs, they need to be buying me playoff tickets.
Do you guys believe in good luck? Win. You believe in good luck? Superstitious?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
I'm superstitious that if Ponder puts it in my own net, I know I'm losing that game.
Oh, that's funny, because last time I put it in my own net, I did win. So again,
are these euphemisms?
Under two.
Hockey?
Douchey McDoucheface, nothing.
Putting it in my own net. That sounds like bedroom talk, like undercover.
You know, it can be however you want to take it, Kurt.
That's another
or however. God damn it.
Bill, how are you?
Damn it, LA scored.
Austin's going for the double and triple entendres tonight.
Don't you hate it when you're in bed with three women and the ugliest one says, "Save it for me."
All right.
Right? Can I get a... Okay.
Happens all the time to me.
LA now.
Yeah, 2-0 LA. It's unfortunate. We will be watching. For those of you listening... after this show is recorded, we apologize. You will be hearing us talk about the Kings game as it goes. Right now, 2-0, second period, 12-21 left.
Yeah, they, talk about they some just positive, put that on the board.
Let's talk about some positive shit here, Bill. I don't know if we've really talked about it. You have been acquiring goaltending gear.
We haven't talked about it, and there was kind of a moratorium on talking about it, but it is the cat got let out of the bag this weekend in the Day household. So
how did that go?
I'll let you know. it has yet to be fully realized.
But, it is what it is. Just lay it out there. Say, you know what? Suck it up. It is what it is.
Yeah. No, the plan is known. The plan is known. So that's out there. So
just do what every, well-structured couple does. Just have your own secret checking account.
Ponder, that's a sick pint glass you got, buddy.
Oh, yeah. This is...
yeah, I heard you asked for me at my job, and I wasn't there. I got told all about it the next day.
Oh, yeah, I said... Hey,
your hockey friend's here? I was like, oh, God.
So you faced allegations at work, too.
He did.
I got a story for you guys later.
All right. God, tell it now. You can't say that on the air.
Right? No, I can't. Let's just say, look out for a 2021 navy blue Kia Sportage on the road that I am not driving currently.
Uh oh!
Saying you had your car stolen?
I am saying I had my car stolen.
My God. Oh my lord!
from where?
No,
from the where? Alamo Draft House.
While you were working?
While I was working.
Do they
was there like
camera footage?
Nope, there is no camera footage on the side of that building.
Was there remnants of your car? Like, was the window broken? Okay.
The window wasn't broken, but like the dashboard was ripped out. And yeah,
because you drive a Kia Sportage that is known to like be easily stolen.
So I got
in that neighborhood.
I got the software that Kia said it was supposedly to stop all this.
Supposedly. Yeah.
I got it installed 7 months later. I do not own a Kia right now.
Mm. Well, you own a Kia.
Well, I own a Kia.
It's just not in your possession.
No.
Somebody else is enjoying your Kia.
Right.
And this, and
or
right
it's
here,
dumped
man.
In an alleyway and like...
This is the shit that drives me crazy with downtown businesses, because like, man, I get it. I get you want to be as cheap as fucking possible. But my wife, way back in the day when she was not my wife yet, she had her car broken into. She had her backpack stolen, all of her school stuff in it. And And yeah, Matt Harris, my bad, Austin. I'll have it back next week. Gas is getting expensive. I hear you. Man, you had to drive all the way up here from Arizona to steal his car, too. So yeah,
not
he had to make the money back somehow. But no, I just, it's just so obnoxious because it's like she parked in the company garage where they tell her to park. And it was like, oh, sorry, we don't have security on staff. They don't tell people to park there.
Yeah.
Ugh, that shit drives me crazy, man.
No security and not even any cameras.
No cameras, nothing.
That's fucking Bush League. That's bad.
Yeah. And same thing with you, Austin. They should, the Alamo Draft House, there should be cameras all over that
place. Especially with all the fucking crime going on. People breaking into cars left and right. Cars are being stolen. Yeah, cars being broken into in the St. Louis area is a problem. And any business that does not have cameras on the outside of the building is just, you know, fuck you.
Apparently management sent a note to the owners and now they're getting cameras out there. I'm like, oh, well, that would have been great fucking a week and a half ago.
You're an agent of change. You should embrace that.
It costs a business to put like 4 or 5 security cameras outside the building and have an inside DVR to record it all, just keep it all locally, like $800. You can easily do it for that. And that's nothing for a business. Shouldn't be. It's
one of the many problems with downtown St. Louis. Mm-hmm. Absolutely ridiculous. Well, Austin, sorry that happened, man.
It's all good.
Fully insured?
It is?
Yep. That's why it's all good. It was fully insured and I didn't have shit in my car.
Okay.
That's good. You know what? Yeah. If that's the key. If you're going to park downtown, don't put anything in your car. Leave your car unlocked. No. Might as well. No way they're not breaking the window.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't even break the window. There was no glass on the ground. I had my car locked.
They say to leave your car unlocked when you park downtown, because that way, if somebody breaks in, they're not breaking the window. They'll just open the door.
Yeah, but that's what my neighbor used to say that. He used to say, you know what? I don't lock my front door because if someone wants to get in, they're going to get in, and I'd just rather have my front door in one piece.
Front door's different. That's where you live.
When you're
that's
dead, you don't is. Care about the shape maybe, of your
yeah.
front door.
Maybe it's when he was not there. I don't know.
Maybe. Yeah.
But, maybe. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. If someone's going to steal my car, you know what? I'd rather them have it with a broken window or a fucked up dashboard or something. You know, they don't get a clean car.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Fuckers. Again, sorry, douchey McDoucheface. As for those of you on the podcast, that is officially Austin's name tonight, apparently, because I guess he can't figure out how to change his own name.
I realized where it was. I haven't been on this fucking website in a while.
Oh, we know. We know, Austin.
We're aware of this.
All right. Official beers of episode number 457. You can follow each of us on the Untappd app, each of us being the three of age drinkers. Kurt is at CPrice12. Myself, Jeff, can be found at JPiner94. Bill is at BillyBlueNote33. We are starting with Bill.
Yes, we are, because it's been going pretty well.
It has.
Back on rotation. So I have a lovely stout from Founders. It's called Stay In Stout, which, you know, I would have expected this to be like, you know, a November release. Maybe it was. I just found it. It's really good. Kind of reminds me of their the Mackinac Fudge one they had a couple years ago. Very, very chocolatey. It's got a hazelnut coffee flavor to it as well. Really good. But slightly beyond season. For when I found it, but I'm enjoying the hell out of it.
Well, I had the Mackinac Fudge on the show one time last year, 2 years ago, whatever it was, and, or maybe it was longer than that. And remember
it was concoction? Pre-pandemic.
Yeah, okay, you're right. And remember the concoction that was like recommended online, the mixture of whatever it was. I can't remember what it was, but I did that on the show. It was pretty good. It was Mackinac Fudge and something else. I don't know.
I actually have one of those still.
Yeah.
So I might have to look up that concoction and try it myself.
Those are good. Kurt, who's next? Am I next? Okay.
You are next.
Yeah. So I had a rigorous evening of pickleball. So I'm doing the host sporting event.
Mick Ultra.
I'm doing the Mick Ultra, which is
nice.
You know, I mean, not in the mood for anything heavy or thick or strong.
That's what she said.
Yeah.
No, Potter, stay away from
it's not. Dirt. It's not, and like, you know, this it's not the length, it's the girth. So there you go.
We've got a couple people chiming in. The Big Beaver says Pabst, period. Yeah, ooh, good old PBR. My favorite of the cheap beers. Matt Harris adds Abita. Am I saying that right? Abita?
Abita, yeah.
Abita Purple Haze out on the new patio. Just moved. Beautiful.
I love Purple
night
Haze.
In the desert.
Love Purple Haze. That's good beer.
Sounds like a strand of weed.
It is strand? Actually a strand probably. Of weed. Yes.
Allegedly. God damn it.
All right. And
we got them now. Shit.
Yeah, god damn it. Stupid Kings. Come on.
Stupid Kraken.
Kraken. Yeah. Come on, Kraken.
Play hockey.
Fuck you, Grubauer.
Get Kraken. All right. So out of my beautiful Slimer glass that I'm drinking out of again this week, I and from beautiful Alamo Draft House.
No,
which newly secure Alamo Draft House.
Bro, David wasn't there that night. That's why it happened.
Oh, David's the man. I love that guy. We saw him again when we were there. That dude's awesome.
You've seen him more than me this
that's
month.
That's their security guard. Very, very, very nice man. Big Grant Fuhr fan, which was fun to talk to him about. Pale Ale from Schlafly. This was my drink of choice for the 2019 Blues Stanley Cup run. So I thought, let's go pick up and load up on that for the end of the season. It worked in 2019. Let's have it work here in 2024 just to make the playoffs. So I am all for it. All right. Oh, Austin, what are you drinking tonight? You got anything in your hand that you can show us? Good.
No,
okay, nothing.
No, Appletini?
Nope. An Appletini? Yeah, no, none of that.
No, I like
heavy,
the
heavy on
that you can
have you on the apple, light on the teeny?
Yes.
Yeah.
So we'll get into some hockey talk here as Jimmy Snuggerud, who's widely known as the Blues' top prospect, he has announced he will remain with the Golden Gophers for his junior season next year. We even speculated last week that maybe we would see him in a Blues jersey by season's end. That is not the case.
He doesn't want to be here. He doesn't want to be here. Trade him.
His season ended here. Saturday when Minnesota lost to Boston University in the NCAA tournament. He had 42 goals in 79 collegiate games so far in his career. This season, 21 goals and 13 assists. He was named the first team All Big Ten. We can get into what Armstrong said, but yeah, Kurt, that's what we saw a lot of. I'm sorry, I'm just going to say it. People who like to jump to conclusions, I guess.
Maybe
they have a jump to conclusions. Maybe they have a jump to conclusions map. I don't know. But yeah, they are assuming that he doesn't want to play here.
It's Matt Harris's new nickname. Jump to conclusions, Matt.
The jump to conclusions, Matt. I like.
Yeah, just because a player wants to stay in college, he's 19 years old. Stay in college,
younger than me,
go back for his junior season after a disappointing finish to their current season, and quite honestly a disappointing season for him personally. So you know, he wants to go back, and he said that he fully intends on turning pro after next season.
Yeah,
so I don't know what social media is stupid. We always say this, but you have to go on there just to get the vibe of what's being said by some respectable people, but my God, people are just stupid. They're dumb. Yeah.
It's ridiculous to assume, because again, it's not, if this, I told you this, Kurt, if this were next year and he was like, yeah, I'm going to go back my senior year, then I'd be concerned. And I'd be like, okay, now maybe you want to talk about trading him, because then he could be a senior and then sign anywhere he wants as a UFA. After that
that's
season.
That's in 25-20. After we have him through 25-26, right?
24-25. Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right.
We'd have him one more year after a senior year.
Yeah, so that would be, if that were the situation, that would make me very nervous. And I would be on the let's look into possibly trading him bandwagon. But right now, he just wants to go back to school. He just lost a heartbreaker to a fluke goal to Boston. He wants to go back and try to win this thing with his college team. And hey, good on him for wanting to go and learn some more before he becomes a pro too.
He needs more developing anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. This season was not what he wanted. He started off the season strong, but then he kind of fizzled and kind of had some streaks where he didn't do too much this season. So I he needs to develop more. He's 19 years old. I don't know. I don't understand social media in general because people say stupid things. I don't understand this. I don't understand people wanting to trade him right now and just people. I don't get people at all.
They're all experts. They're clearly all experts. Probably all watched 8 hours of tape of him.
Yeah, you give an idiot a keyboard, right, and access to the internet, and you're gonna see some ridiculous stuff. So, yes. I don't know.
Yeah, if this was going into his senior year, he's still got another year of eligibility and another year of growing. But he said it's junior year.
But yeah, he's going into his next season's his junior year. Well, Austin,
I got it.
I was gonna say when you leave, don't. There you go. Now, just leave your feet open. Leave your feet up there, and now we have to change the overlay.
Well, right. Anyway, it's one season. I'm not worried about it again. Next year, maybe that's a different situation, but I think it's fine. Armstrong, his quote on this, he says, after talking to Jimmy and his family the past couple of days, the organization fully supports his decision to commit to another season at the University of Minnesota. We look forward to watching his continued development towards becoming a solid contributor for the St. Louis Blues in the future by playing a lead role for the Golden Gophers against top college competition next year. I think he also realizes that with the year he had, and this is me talking, not Armstrong, I think he realizes he'd probably be in the AHL next year. So why not just go back to college, try and win another championship? I don't see why people can't understand that.
I just saw something on Twitter. I don't mean to change the subject, but this is breaking news, apparently, from our friend over at the Drop Hockey Show. His source in the Detroit Red Wings front office has confirmed that former St. Louis Blues head coach Craig Berube, maybe the Wings' new head coach after the season.
Who says this?
Lance.
Oh,
the Drop Hockey Show.
Okay. All right.
So this is how it's phrased. His source in the Detroit Red Wings front office has confirmed that former St. Louis Blues head coach Craig Berube may be the Wings head coach after the season. How about take a stand, Lance? Say will be. Say it.
I may be their goalie coach because I grew up with their assistant coach. Well, I didn't grow up with him, but I played hockey with him.
There you go. So Bill maybe. And if you're not, then we said, well, we didn't say for sure. Come on.
I just want to point out to those who might be wondering if you don't listen to us normally, that is bullshit. That is not anything that is going to happen. So just want to say that now. We don't condone bullshit on this show. So
that's why I kind of laughed before I said it. But
yep.
You know, anything can happen, but I don't think there's a source for him in the Detroit Red Wings front office.
Oh.
Hmm.
NPM, do you know where your children are?
I'm going to ask my
source. It's Wednesday.
My Detroit Red Wings source, if he's heard this. I do have a Red Wings source.
There's no truth to it. Why even ask? You know it's not true.
I'm just going to ask. He, you know what? Okay. This is how Lance operates, right? He heard a rumor somewhere from somebody, and he's just reposting it.
Or he's completely making it up.
You never know. I mean, he needs to say will be. That's what you say. You don't say maybe. If you have a source that says that, say will be. Don't say maybe. Anybody can say maybe.
Yeah, Bill may be the next GM of the Red Wings as well. So we'll see.
Or, hey, Lance, if you're listening, come on the show right now. Talk about it. Let's talk about it. what your source said. I'm not asking for the source's name. You can just talk about what your source told you, and we can talk about it. I'd love to hear it. I'll do it in a second.
Well, we will await, see if Lance will join us as we take a break here. This is Let's Go Blues Radio. We will be back talking about the St. Louis Blues and their recent three games, as well as their attempt to catch the LA Kings and Golden Knights, which is not looking good tonight, folks, by the way. But we will get to that more as we get back for break. You are listening to Jeff, Kurt, and Bill on Let's Go Blues Radio.
Come on, Lance. Come on, Lance.
We'll return after these messages.
We've all tried a diet or workout fad at one time or another, but it always ends the same, right? We either lose the weight and then get back to our routine, but then put the weight right back on, or it just simply never takes hold. It's time to move into a habit-based program that focuses on organization and simplicity. Rockin' That Idea Life's Lean 30 lays it all out for you with the correct food to eat, how to meal prep, and even sprinkles in plenty of healthy recipes. With Lean 30, you'll get the full ID Life arsenal, including energy for that needed kick, a tasty Nourish shake for your needed fiber intake, Slim Plus to help control your cravings and provide a metabolic boost, Lean Capsules help bust those sugar cravings, and ID Nutrition gives you the added punch you need that takes the guesswork out of what supplements to take. Join the many who are seeing success and make this your last first day on a new program. Visit rockinthatidealife.com to get started, and remember to email Dustin at rockinthatidealife@gmail.com for an extra 10% off exclusively for Let's Go Blues Radio listeners. Start your transformation to the confident, vibrant person you've always wanted to be with rockinthatidealife.com.
St. Louis hockey fans know how it takes a reliable captain and a team of hard workers to achieve major goals. As a police officer and a hockey player, Realtor Mike Burgoyne would wear the C in any situation. As a leader in the home buying or selling process, Mike has surrounded himself with a team of trustworthy inspectors, lenders, and escrow officers that work together more cohesively than Hall & Oates. And as a member of many teams in his life, Mike knows the service are first responders, veterans, nurses, teachers, and yes, even you Let's Go Blues Radio listeners provide the community, so he offers special rates to those individuals. Find the value in Mike's leadership and teamwork today by emailing him at mike@strikewithmike.com or calling 314-753-4060. He'll work closely with you and only show you the homes that match your goals. That email again is mike@strikewithmike.com or call him at 314-753-4060 and succeed with your new teammate today.
And now, back to Let's Go Blues Radio,
the longest
running St. Louis Blues podcast with Price, Ponder, and Day.
Any response?
Not yet. Okay. I'm waiting to. Not from Lance, but I fully expect to hear back from my source shortly.
Ah, okay.
Your source, to be clear, is in the back office.
He's in the reality world.
Oh.
So he lives in the world of reality. So we'll see. So he common sense from reality.
He won't know Lance's source.
I don't know who Lance's source is.
Is it Snuffleupagus?
You know, they finally revealed him to
I know. Yeah. It was so weird. I always knew him as the imaginary friend. Like, yep. I always wondered myself if he was real.
Yeah.
All right. Blues get a big win over the Calgary Flames at home Thursday night last week, 5-3. This was a big win as it put the Blues at 7-1-1 in their past nine games. At this point, they were just 5 points behind the Kings for the second wild card spot. The Kings lost the same night to Edmonton 4-1 shortly after this game ended. And I'll also add that this was the night where Vegas started to pull away a little bit, and it was okay. Now we're chasing the Kings and not the Golden Knights. So interesting night of hockey, to be sure. Pavel Buchnevich, two big goals in this one. Second one on Markstrom, I thought was weak.
You did not read the edited notes. Dustin Wolf, get your goalies right, man.
That was Dustin Wolf?
It was Dustin Wolf in net for the Flames.
Shit. Why did I think it was Markstrom?
Because you're a goalie hater.
That's exactly what it is. You're right. I hate goalies, especially the one on the bottom of the screen here. Okay. Dustin Wolf, good call. I thought he had a pretty good game for the most part, but that, I thought that second goal was weak. No.
And Kelly Rudy, like, I really enjoyed getting the playback from going back and watching the highlights with the Flames feed. Kelly Rudy, great job breaking down the game about the goaltending aspect of the game. And yeah, he said that's just a terrible goal.
Yeah.
I agree. It's clear. He didn't try to make him, you know, a lot of times goalies will try to make excuses for other goalies. That was just a bad goal. He was off his ankle. He was turned wrong and off the glove and in.
Yep. And Jordan Binnington had two assists in this game. I loved the first assist he had. That was the one on Bull Duke's opening goal. He found Bull Duke on the boards. Bull Duke skated up the ice, found Toropchenko across the blue line, drove, and then as he passed the puck over to him, he drove the net, and then Toropchenko fed it right back to him, and Bull Duke scored on the backhand. Beauty goal, I thought, overall by the Blues in general, but just a smart heads-up play, and hopefully more of what we'll see from Bull Duke in the future.
Yeah, that great read by Binnington, not throwing it up the boards, but actually finding Bull Duke breaking out of the zone. Great pass. And yeah, just Toropchenko, the great pull-up move after he got the puck from Bull Duke and split the defense. Dustin Wolf is, you know, a smaller goalie for the NHL, looks similar in stature to UC Saros, and Bull Duke was able to open him up and just slide it right through.
Yeah, and I loved this goal, too, or the pass mostly from Binnington, too, because he had two guys, and in the Flames, I could tell, were going after Binnington when he went behind the net. They had two guys collapsing in on him as he had the puck. And again, you would think even a smart puck-handling goalie would think, oh, shit, I got two guys on me. I got to wrap it behind me or go up the boards. No, just completely composed on the play and knew to find Bull Duke right on the tape. And gave Bull Duke an opening to be able to skate that into the offensive zone. We got Matthew Carpenter in the chat. I don't think this is going to happen because the world hates Binnington. But he says, I'm hoping Binner closes strong and gets some Vezina votes just so Wyshynski can whine like a bitch about that. Unfortunately, he just will never get the fanfare from the media because the media are the ones that vote on it. So it's never going to happen. But I like the thought. I'm with you, Matthew.
Right. He got no real Vezina support and just a little bit of Calder support in 19 when he had that amazing run. It would take a lot more for him to get any recognition from the national media. Although I think I pointed this out last week. Friend of the show, Kevin Woodley, had posted something. It was last week or the week before. About his saves above
expected.
We're top of the league at that point, and he should start getting Vezina consideration.
Well, people are going to lose their shit when he makes Team Canada.
Yeah.
So, and rightfully, he's going to rightfully make the team. So,
I think it's funny if you look at all the pundits picking, even like Kevin Weeks. They're not even putting Binnington on the roster. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, they're putting like Connor Ingram on there. And first I'm like, of all,
Armstrong is the GM of this team. He's not, yep. I mean, if Binnington is the guy, Armstrong is not going to overlook him. And right now he's on that team.
There's no question.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know for, I don't want to say 100% he's the starter, but he's on the team. There's no doubt. He's top three Canadian goaltenders in the league. No doubt in my mind right now.
Can you throw a football over those mountains? No doubt in your mind.
Yes. Neighbors had a goal and an assist. I thought he had a nice, I talk about it every week in front of the net. Just so good. Reads where the puck's going to go off rebounds. Great at deflecting. Just an awesome net front guy. And I think we'll continue to thrive in front of the net there as long as the Blues keep having shooters, which they got a couple guys. We already talked about one tonight, Stuggerud, coming through the lineup. Mm-hmm. Dean, Bolduke, these guys continue to put the puck on net. Jake Neighbors is going to be there to poke the puck in for rebounds and deflections all night. Saad scored in his fourth straight game, but I wanted to mention the start of the third period. If you were at the game, you better have been in your seat to open the period because it was nuts. So at 1:55, Kuzmenko thought he scored his second of the game, but it was waved off due to a high stick. Now, Kurt, you're the one that corrected me on this on Facebook. I thought, and I was watching the Calgary feed, and they thought the same thing, that it was Matt Kessel that actually knocked the puck down with a stick. But you're saying it, and the NHL report does say it was a Kuzmenko high stick. So upon further review, the referees did make the correct call.
Yeah, there's one camera angle on the replays they showed. Every camera angle was it looked like it was the other way around. It could have been. But the very last one they showed from almost ice level, not ice, near boards, but if you stop, you could see the puck travels by the first stick and hits the second one. So, yeah, it did look like I'm getting my players mixed up. It hit
Kuzmenko. It hit Kuzmenko's stick. It looked like it hit Kessel.
Okay. Yeah. Right. Yes. So. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Because you had said that hit Kessel stick, and I was like, and it did look like it. And I went back and I looked at the different angles and I slowed it down. I'm like, oh, it misses Kessel's and it does hit Kuzmenko's stick.
Yeah, every angle I saw,
it's real hard to see
on the Flames broadcast. It looked like it was Kessel, but then you commented, and then I looked at the NHL.com score box, and it did say it was a Kuzmenko high stick. So. I think that they would have worded it differently. They wouldn't have flat out said the referees had the call wrong, but they would have worded it differently if it wouldn't have hit off Kuzmenko. So definitely did. I still need to see the angle you saw.
I screenshotted it and I
saw that.
Yeah.
I'd like to see the video.
It shows
video,
the puck
though.
Right on.
Yeah.
Kuzmenko's stick. So
yeah, real close bang, bang play. And I'm glad. Oh. I mean, hey, yeah. Good on the referees for getting that, because that was one of those that they called no goal instantly, non-reviewable. And so the thought on the Calgary feed was referees got this wrong. But, hey, good on the referees. They got the call right in real time. And I still saw it on replay and thought it was off Kessel.
You know, if a team chooses not to review a play, chances are, you know, the officials got it on the ice right.
But that one was non-reviewable.
You're right.
By the team.
Right. Yeah, you're right.
I think the league office can call down in review, but the team cannot review when the call on the ice is no goal.
Right.
So that's why I think a lot of times referees will say, yeah, I'll go ahead and call it a goal so they can review it. But they were dead set. It was not a goal. So good on them for getting the call right.
Yeah, they got it right. They got it right.
Yep. So this was at 1:55. Goals called back. Brandon Saad then scores just 9 seconds later at 2:04. He scores. It's a Brandon Saad has been ridiculous to close out the season. The goal is still being announced. And then Calgary scores on a scramble play in front of the net. It was a wraparound. And that goal gets disallowed because of an offside challenge, which if you see the offside challenge, you will see the puck clearly does come out past the blue line. I thought in real time I saw it, and I thought that puck looked like it was out. And it did. It came out, so no goal again. Calgary gets two goals taken off the board, rightfully so, though, very early in this game. That has got to be frustrating for Calgary and its fans.
And we'll talk about this kind of thing happening in the Edmonton game.
Yeah.
If the play is gotten right, if they get the play right, then, you know, it's hard to complain about,
right.
You know, if you have goals taken off the board, it's disappointing. You can be sad about it, but you can't claim there's a fix or they got it wrong. You know, they got the play right.
Unless you're an Oilers fan, then you apparently get to complain as much as you want, despite reality.
I don't think I've ever seen a fan base be more wrong about what happened, except maybe the Colorado fan base about
their
stuff.
They're clearly going for the American team here.
They're just getting plays right.
And I hate to jump ahead here, but I was at the game Monday. What play did they not like? The goal interference?
Both of them.
Okay.
The one that was they called goal interference, took a goal off the board when they scored.
Nugent Hopkins goal.
Mm-hmm. Right. And then they challenged. They challenged when Torpchenko scored when there was really nothing there. The stick does make contact with the pad, but it didn't affect anything.
Right.
So, and then they got that play right. So we can talk about that more later, but yeah, that was.
Yeah, we will. I didn't know that there was. I guess I should have figured, but that
Dan Riley does it. Twitter account, Dan Riley. He does a good job of singling out a lot of ridiculous comments from other fans. And so he pulls them into Blues Twitter. And so if you look for it, man, there's a lot of Oilers fans that were just like, blaming the referees for the loss. Just bad.
Yeah. Yeah. He posted a whole bunch, like tagged a bunch of people, said ref blamer.
Right.
That was great.
It was funny.
This is from Matthew Carpenter in the Facebook chat. He says, I had Edmonton radio feed on listening and their announcer said that the refs got both calls right to their credit. So the Edmonton announcers are saying the calls were correct.
Well, if you're objective and you're honest, oh, sure. I mean, it's the only way to say it.
We'll talk more about those goals later. But again, still early in the third period of this Calgary game, Brandon Saad got a breakaway at 3:45, but Wolf makes the save. Kyrou dug for the rebound, but Wolf covers the puck. So very lot going on. Again, if it's one of those where it's like you're in line for the bathroom and the period starts, like, oh, I'll just stop, get a beer. I'm not going to miss anything. You missed a lot of shit to start this period. So. But Blues end up at the end of the day, all that matters. They win this game 5-3. Shots in this game, 28-19 for Calgary. Binnington makes 25 saves on 28 shots. Blues go 1-for-3 on the power play. Calgary also goes 1-for-3 in this game. So big 2 points for the St. Louis Blues in this game. So walking into the next game, you're like, they just beat Calgary.
Man.
They got Edmonton coming up Monday, who's a damn good team. This has got to be a big win for the St. Louis Blues. Not the case. In what had to be one of the worst sports days in St. Louis history, the Blues.
Yeah, no kidding.
God, that was a bad day. Ugh.
Do you know how much I got to watch of any of this the St. Louis sports that day?
Huh.
Zero seconds.
Good for you. Good for you.
Yeah.
When I got in bed at the end of the day and looked at my phone, I'm like, huh, I really didn't miss a damn thing.
Yep.
Yeah.
You did not. I'll tell you that St. Louis team's 1-3. The one team that won, the Cardinals, I thought there was no way in hell they would win that game. So the fact that the one team that I thought wouldn't win won, I guess that's kind of a positive. But yeah, the rest of the games, rough day. So the Sharks beat the Blues 4-0 at Enterprise Center in front of its home fans. Blues booed off the ice in the second and third periods. Sharks ended a 9-game losing streak. They were outscored 44-20 in that stretch, and they've only had one win in their past 19 games, 115-3 in that span. So a bad loss for the St. Louis Blues, and I do want to read Coach Bannister's quote here after the game. He says, you go into the second period and we fell asleep. We weren't doing the same things that we were in the first, whether it was us getting frustrated early on in the game where we weren't having a lot of success, but we were doing things the right way. We just had to stick with it. Then we found ourselves in a hole. We turned the puck over. We get beat on a track, and then we get a bad bounce. But we weren't working for those opportunities on our end, especially in the second period, and then we're chasing the game from them. We have a team that's just defending in the third period. Now we have some chances. We put ourselves in a deep hole there to climb out of. A lot of bad luck, I thought, in this game. But before we get to the goals or just the Blues losing, I like, and what Bannister said, I like the way the Blues played in the first period. Mackenzie Blackwood mm-hmm. fucking stood on his head. He made some insane saves. One on Parayko, all alone in front of the net. I think Saad had a nice chance early in the game. And he was great. And I thought, okay, the Blues are just going to have to dig a little deeper to get some goals here and outlast Blackwood. That just didn't happen. I thought after the first period, the Blues looked deflated. They were not the same team. And then, as Bannister said, couple bad turnovers, bad puck bounces, and all of a sudden, they're losing 4-0.
Yeah, and I think the Blues did have that nice first period, and they kind of like, wow, you know, this is going to be our game. And then San Jose just took it to them in the second. And rightfully so, boot off the ice. This was not a game that you could lose. I mean, this is a game you have to win. And if you have to go 7-1-1 or 8-1-1, whatever, in your last 10, to just have a shot at making the playoffs, you can't lose to the fucking San Jose Sharks for the second time this season.
Yeah, you say it. This season, the Blues, and I just want to read this out, and then we'll get into the game a little bit more. This season, the Blues have lost to the Arizona Coyotes twice by a total score of 10-3. They lost one game to Chicago Blackhawks 3-1. They've lost both games to Columbus by a total score of 6-2, and they did beat San Jose. Or no, they have not beat San Jose yet.
No.
Because they play them.
They play them again
Saturday night.
Yep.
Saturday night. San Jose, they've lost to them twice so far. Total score of 9-1.
That's San Jose the Sharks. The Blues are on the outside looking at those games.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You can't, some of the worst teams in the league. Truly bottom five teams in the league, pretty much, right? So it's like
right.
You just can't lose those guys.
And we have the Ducks, we have the Sharks, and the Hawks still on the schedule. Mm-hmm. It's not looking good for us.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, if they don't go into San Jose and put a 10 spot on them Saturday night, like that's what should happen. It's not gonna happen, but
do you know what is interesting about the Blues schedule is that the Blues have a very, very easy schedule. Down the stretch, second easy before last game, I think it was the second easiest schedule in the NHL. You know who has the easiest? The Kings. And Vegas had a middle of the road schedule, so theirs was harder than the Blues. So that was my thinking. Oh well, you know, Vegas is the team to catch. This was probably 4 or 5 games ago because they've got a tougher schedule, much tougher than the Blues do. But they're playing some pretty good hockey now and getting goaltending finally. So it's like they've pulled away a little bit. They're what, 90 points now? So
did we even mention the Kings last week? Like last week we talked the whole time about Blues trying to catch Golden Knights. We didn't talk about the Kings.
No.
Because it was like the difficulty of schedule. Like that's the team the Blues have to catch. But now it's the Kings, and their ease of schedule is gross to look at.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. They're going to beat the Kraken tonight, and we have the hottest team in hockey tomorrow night. It's like, you know, our 3% chance is going to look more like a 1% chance come Friday if things go the way that would have it.
I shared on Twitter the Money Pucks odds of making the playoffs, right? Mm-hmm. And they have Minnesota ahead of the Blues.
At 4%.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah.
I don't understand that whatsoever because Minnesota's behind us in the standings. Even if they win their games in hand, they're still behind us. Our strength of schedule is easier. That makes no sense to me. And the Blues are playing much better hockey lately over the past 10 games than Minnesota. So I don't understand where that's coming from.
Yeah. They must put a lot of stock in goals scored because the Blues are real, real low on that chart.
Shots against, too. Shot differential, I guess, is the better way of saying it. That and and I would just say the Blues' inability to take advantage of bad teams. I mean, maybe they're taking that into consideration, too, like record against non-playoff teams. Because the Blues' record against non-playoff teams is not good.
Maybe. But the goal differential is almost the same. there's two goal difference in the two teams for goal differential. I don't know. And regulation wins are the same, and regulation overtime wins. The Blues have the edge there. So I don't, and the Blues have four more wins than Minnesota. So it's like there's all kinds of things that are skewing in the Blues' favor as far as finishing ahead of the Wild. But Money Puck has the Wild as a better chance to make the playoffs than the Blues, which, okay, we'll see.
Yep. So I thought in this game, so again, we're not going to break down all the goals here, but that first goal, which kind of set the tone, I think, that really seemed to deflate the Blues, not putting it on this kid's shoulders. Bull Duke did have that turnover. Bad play in the corner as he whiffed on the puck. And, of course, for the rookie, it did cost him playing in the next game, which playoff push, it's not surprising to me, but it is a little annoying because it's like the kid just scored a sick goal against and a smart heads up goal against Calgary. He's right. Been playing good hockey. He made one mistake and all of a sudden he's sitting the next night.
Yeah. A team that's hard up for goals, putting, you know, one of the more natural goal scorers in the press box. Yeah. But you know, it's all about accountability. Always has been with Doug Armstrong. Right. And
only with the younger players though.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. It's never
the rookies, right? You know, like I talked about this a couple weeks ago. Shocked that he's getting, you know, second and third line time, you know, and not being forced to earn it on the fourth line, which he's not a fourth line guy. So at least they got that part right.
The punishment for a veteran making a bad turnover like that ends in a goal. Maybe they
more ice time. But,
no, well, more ice time. Maybe they drop him down a line. Maybe they sit him for half a period or something. They never scratch him ever.
Yeah. Right.
Which is strange to me.
The biggest turnover machine on this team over the last 6 weeks has been Justin Falk, and yeah. his ice time goes unchanged between games.
And I don't care if he's hurt or not. The end result is he's playing like shit.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't say, well, he's hurt. Okay, don't play him or whatever, or cut his ice time or something. You know, I don't. If he's hurt, he's hurt. But this goes back to our argument with Bomeister and Parayko. You know, players that were playing hurt, they were playing shitty. Stop playing them. Play somebody else.
Well, he had that devastating turnover against Calgary. Popsicle. What's his name?
Pospisil.
I can never say his name right. Popsicle. Yeah, Popsicle. Right. Yeah, he had that horrible turn. Reminded me of the Pazlowski goal.
Yes, I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah.
Pazlowski, and that goal crazy.
It was like he didn't even know he was there.
That was
just like, come on, man.
That was Kuzmenko, where he picked his pocket and he dangled Binnington down and went over the blocker.
Yep.
That was Kuzmenko was on the hat trick for the night.
I am 99% sure that was Popsicle.
I am 9100% sure you are wrong.
Brandon right. DeRose in the chat. Saw the pickleball sweatshirt, huh? There it is.
I'm looking it up.
He saw me in make a comment in a pickleball thread on Twitter this morning. He goes, "Hey, I know you." You do. Let's go Blues Radio.
It was Kuzmenko. Yeah. God damn it. I hate when you're right.
I love when I'm right.
I could have sworn it was Popsicle.
Just because you wanted to say Popsicle.
Yep. Hang on. It is just at a crawl here. Come on, NHL.com.
The Baked Beaver says, "Stop playing down the teams. We play up, but we should have put a beating on the Sharks." Yeah, I mean, in all fairness, though, and not to make excuses, I'm just, you know, with a team like the Blues who are playing inconsistent hockey and, you know, are a middle third team, this is what you get. You know, you get the inconsistencies. You if you were beating all the cellar dwellers and you know, then you'd be higher in the standings, so you'd be a better team. So it is what it is with the Blues right now. They're just they have some issues, and you know, they're a bubble team. This is the way to end. Bubble teams lose the teams you want them to beat. Sometimes.
Yes, it was Kuzmenko. I am terribly sorry, Bill. And I will give you, I don't know. What do I do when I'm wrong? I'll give you a $100 bill next time I see you.
Awesome.
It'll have Bennington's face on it. But
contribute to the fund.
Ken asks, is there a sport that I do not play? I do play a lot of sports, or I have in my life played a ton of sports. I think very few have I not played. Sports guy growing up. Baseball, tennis, basketball, football.
You were the alternate captain on the 1994-95 BAC farm combine team, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah. That was such a crazy. Yeah, we beat the wrestling team in one game. That was bananas stupid. They were playing that game like it was a full. This was on foot on a gym floor, and they were playing it like it was a full Czech league. That was bananas.
Yeah, some nutso sports that.
And the t-shirts we got from winning the championship in that league, they were very simple, but those things lasted forever. I wore that thing to death for probably 12 years. It's a good shirt. Anyway, back to the show.
Back to the shots of this game, 35-20 St. Louis. At one point, it was 11-3 St. Louis in the second period. So, again, goes to show the blade. They came out very strong, but, man, just could not keep their foot on the pedal for this game. Hofer, 16 goals on 19 shots.
16.
Oh, wow. Sorry. 16 saves on 19 shots.
Didn't trade play that save.
Bill, what did let me ask you, what did you think of his game? Did you
it wasn't his best game. I just thought that once that the Cunning goal happened, there was no recovering from that for anybody on this team. That just fluke bounce off the boards. He tried to go play it and yeah, just couldn't recover in time. Just
all right.
Got beat by another goalie, right? That's sure. What the last two losses have been. We've been beat by a goalie.
Man, there's something wrong with my pale ale tonight. It is just, I just opened my second one and it just went all over.
Do you have Parkinson's?
I do not.
Michael J. Fox.
My kitten did break my Bennington bobblehead this week. I was very pissed, but so, luckily Crazy Glue was able to put it back together.
I was going to say, so rest in peace.
No, he's good now. He broke in three pieces, but I was able to glue them back together. So that's
cool. So Nandor De Laurentiis is still with us.
He is. Yes. Yes. The cat is still with us, but I was not happy with him. We had a little bit of a tiff. All right. Well, next game, Blues take down the Oilers 3-2 in OT Monday night. In this game, and I want to talk about this very quickly because this makes me very nervous. The Blues took out Scott Perunovich and Matthew Kessel for this game and replaced them with the third pairing of Tucker and Scandella. Again, I think Scandella has had a fine season, but I hate him with Tucker, and I don't like Tucker in the lineup. Now, because they won, does that mean we are going to see Tucker Scandella for the Nashville game tomorrow night?
More than likely.
I mean, oh God, you would think so, but I guess you never know. But yeah, I was worried about Tucker against the Oilers. I was like, oh man, if he gets stuck out there against the top line, woof. You know, whatever. I mean, they played well, so
they did. They were fine, and Tucker had a nice little scrap there with Vander Kane in this game. Mm-hmm. Two fights this week. Nathan Walker got into it in the Calgary game, so that was interesting. I was a little nervous going into this game with both Perunovich and Kessel being taken out, but like you said, they played fine. If we see him tomorrow night, good Lord, I hope they are not stuck out there at the wrong time. But we will see what Coach Bannister decides to go with. I was there at this game, as was producer Austin, who has departed us because I think he said his dog broke his leg.
Yes.
I don't know.
I didn't know that.
Yes, he put that in Slack. So no allegations tonight, but the play will be reviewed tomorrow.
Yes, yes. So I'll say at this game, it was theme night, superhero night, which is I'm a huge superhero nerd myself. I've got a Batman that sits here with me while I work all day. I will go ahead and show off the beautiful jersey that I'm wearing tonight. It is a Batman themed Blues jersey.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Very nice.
Yeah, so it's got the number 24 on it. And my wife asked, she goes, is it 24? Because, they're saying Bernie Federico is Batman. And I was like, that's a nice thought. I like it. But I think it's the year that she was like, oh, and I'm like, yeah. But still, it's cool to think, Bernie Federico's Batman, sure.
Well, he's not Batman. He's the most interesting hockey player. What's the commercial? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
So that, he's already got
the most interesting retired hockey player in the world.
He's already got that role. Maybe he's both because Batman is a man in disguise.
Yeah.
Yes, he is.
A billionaire.
Mm-hmm. Philanthropist, playboy.
Oh, boy. So, again, I was at this game, a very exciting game. And Blues, with this win, moved within 3 points of the Kings, who later lost to the Jets 4-3 that night. Quick note, did you guys see the face-off that somebody screen-capped of it was like, 3 seconds left with the face-off in the Kings' offensive zone and the lineup they had? Did you guys see that screen-cap?
Mm-mm.
So with 3 seconds left, they had the faceoff man and five people lined in the slot. Because it was clear, you're going to shoot it right off the faceoff, and they were going to have five guys crash the net with the goalie pulled. So it's quite the hilarious looking photo seeing a lineup like that. You guys are reacting to something. I guess I haven't seen it yet.
No, I was watching the Ekholm's goal.
Oh, there it is. Seattle on the board.
All right. Here we go, boys.
And it was a double minor. Do they still have some power play time left? Blake Lizotte high sticking on Jared McCann.
Yeah, looks like they might. Oof. I've got 20 seconds left. I'm behind you, though.
I'm way behind both you guys. Oh, is it onside? Yep, good. Okay, didn't come out.
They still haven't scored yet on my feed.
There it is.
Are you serious?
It's Burakovsky.
There it is. All right. Yeah, they had 4 seconds left. So, yeah, they still got 2 minutes left in the power play.
Come on, Jaden Schwartz.
Yep. Let's see that magic. St. Louis is now 8-2-1 in its past 11 games. That's about the record we want them to have to close the season. So, hopefully they can continue that. Brandon Saad scores the OT winner. Shen had 2 goals in this game. Hayes with 2 assists. I thought it's funny looking at that line they had, the Shen Hayes Kapanen line. I looked at that and I'm like, that is literally the three guys that have kind of been disappointments
this
season. So let's just throw them all together and see what happens. And guess what? They scored 2 huge goals for the Blues in this game. The second Blues goal really shouldn't have happened, speaking of this line, because Kevin Hayes had the puck in the Blue zone, went with a horrible clear up the boards, very soft, just not a good clear, but somehow Eric Bouchard missed the puck, defenseman for the Oilers, and it went right past him. It sprung Kapanen and Shen on a 2-on-1. Kapanen fed a great pass to Shen, and he makes it a one-timer, and he makes it 2-1 at the time. So a big goal for the Blues, but I thought, man, got lucky there. But, hey, we'll take it. Again, that line producing all three guys that I think people have kind of been dogging all season.
Yeah.
They showed up at the right time.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, no, I agree. With that puck should have been stopped. I mean, it was a bounce off the boards, might have bounced a little bit on him, hopped over a stick, but still, yeah, you got to, yeah, knock that thing
down. Bad clear. I mean, that's one that it's like you're going to spring your other forwards, really should have been stopped to the blue line, and then should have had the Blues trapped 5-on-3.
Who went through that? It was Hayes.
Hayes, yeah.
Yeah, oh, God.
Horrible clear, but it worked.
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, but yeah.
And that was what was he trying
to
do?
He gets an assist on it.
Yeah, I know. What was he trying to do on this? I'm watching. I'm like, does he whiff on it? He just like slides it out to the point, and it, yeah.
Yep. Hotard12 in the chat. Rather be lucky than good anytime. 100%. Yep, that's true. That was all luck right there. Ryan Nugent Hopkins thought he scored for the Oilers at 6:11 of the second period, but the Blues challenged for goalie interference at a video review determined that Zach Hyman's right skate clipped Binnington's stick prior to the goal, which was overturned. Bill, I want to get your take on this. Was that goalie interference?
100%. 100%, because it opened the five hole. Right, it had a direct impact on the play. Did not allow Jordan Binnington to make the save. His stick's there. There's no way that. Well, I mean, there's possible the puck still goes in, but it's very, very low likelihood.
So when you say opens a five hole, you mean the stick is no longer there because of interference? Because he opens the five hole on his own after that. But yeah, the stick not being there was the big the big part of it. Yeah,
right. He might have spread his legs a little bit and opened that the gap, but the stick would have been there.
Binnington also gets turned a little bit. Yeah. He gets nudged and he turns a little bit sideways. So not only did it make contact with the stick and pull the stick out of the way, it bumped him a little bit and he slid a little bit. I mean, there's no way that goal stands because and Binnington's in the crease too. If he's outside the crease, then you can argue incidental, but in the crease, that's getting called back every time.
So what was your confidence level when the Blues said they were going to challenge both of you? That it was going to come back?
80%. Because the NHL's bad at goalie interference.
See, and that's why I put it at 40%. I agree 100% that was goalie interference, but I'm like, does the NHL agree with me? I don't know. And again, being at the game, maybe it's a little different, but everyone around me is like, I don't know, maybe. But when I look at it now, I'm like, hell yeah, 100%. But you just, I don't know. I guess you just don't know with the NHL.
Well, when I saw the replay and I saw that Binnington was in the crease, and the skater comes into the crease, makes contact, I was probably better than 80%, just because, the NHL, I mean, they've changed the rules as far as, what constitutes interference over the past few years a little bit. So it's kind of confusing for fans, but they've been pretty consistent that if a skater goes into the crease and makes contact with the goalie and a puck goes in, and it does affect the goalie, move the goalie, moves an arm, a stick or something, and where it interferes with him making the save, in their opinion, they've been pretty consistent about bringing those goals back.
And then we talked about the other goaltender interference, that was challenged, the Torpchenko, sliding across, on the power play, Shen's goal. I thought that was silly by Edmonton to challenge that 100%. I'm like,
that's a dumb challenge.
That's not even close to me. Like, that's not even a question.
Right.
I like Stuart Skinner. I like his game, but that the whole protest, like that was just weak shit.
Yeah.
To say, oh, he touched me. He touched me and throw his hands up like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
First, it's touching a goalie is not illegal.
I can't remember what game it was, but there was a game about 2 years ago where Binnington was up in arms. He threw his arms up, goal interference, challenge, yelling at the bench, challenge, challenge, and they challenged, and then it ended up not being goal interference. And I don't think you see Binnington do that anymore because he's just like, I'm not gonna react that way because I don't want us to get a 2 minute penalty. And I don't know, maybe that's just a learning curve for goalies. Is like Skinner reacting because you saw him, he's pointing at his leg pad. Yeah. Like, he got me, and it's like, Yeah, but it had nothing to do with the goal.
Touching a goalie in the crease is not grounds for calling a goal back. It has to prevent him from making the save in their mind. Like, if it has to bump the goalie, move the stick, bump the arm, do something to prohibit him from making the save. So if there's contact, challenge the call. Shut up. I forgot that initial discussion that we had, but
it was so long ago.
But it was a stick that poke on the pad affected him. It didn't affect anything. So
God damn it.
Yeah. Damn it. Kings just scored.
Yeah. The 160-foot breakaway for Kevin Fiala. Just terrible. Terrible.
Unbelievable.
Oh yeah. Because Seattle was pinching in.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, now Blues absolutely have to win tomorrow night. I think it's a.
Well, they almost have to win out.
Right.
They really almost do.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it all depends on what the Kings do, obviously. You know, right. If the Kings go into a slump, then the Blues don't have to win out. But if the Kings win most of their games, they're going
to
make the playoffs.
The way it looks now, you have to basically say they got to win the rest of their games.
Probably. Yeah, you want to. You want to force the Kings to you know, play better than 500 or whatever it's got to be.
Yep. And you know what we haven't had yet this year is a UC Soros classic showing against the Blues. He's been pretty good the two games we've had with them. So let's hope for a bed shedding. Oh,
Seattle scores. Ain't dead yet, boys.
All right.
Keeping it interesting.
Yep.
God, if that goal could have just come earlier.
I thought deserved a win meter was interesting in this game. I did run it a couple times, but it did have the Blues winning this one 63.4% of the time. So they did get this one right, as the Blues really did come through big here in this game. They were outshot in this game 38-29, but they had a lot of chances. I thought played very well. And Binnington, again, had a very nice game, I thought, as well.
Hold on. Are you doing save of the week? Because I have something to share.
Not yet. Okay. No, I want to talk about the overtime goal first.
Okay.
So I did not like the Blues in overtime in this game. And I will say, somebody commented.
Well, first off, the way the Blues finished the third period, I thought sucked. They were playing for the tie, and Edmonton was going for it.
You can't do that against a team like Edmonton.
They came at us hard in the third period, almost lost it in regulation. And I thought the Blues should have kept going for it. And then I was concerned the Blues wouldn't be able to turn it back on in overtime, and they didn't. They were awful until that great line change sprung the breakaway. But go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, I thought the Blues – I want to say it was Falk first. I could be wrong. I tried to find clips of tried to watch the whole overtime again, but I couldn't find it. I did not like the way they were forcing plays in overtime. When you're forcing plays 3-on-3, you ain't doing it right. You don't have to force shit in overtime.
They were rushing it. That's why.
Yeah, they kept trying to rush, and there was – I think it was – again, I don't want to call him out if it wasn't him. I want to say it was Falk. Tried going in on two guys, and then Kyrou – right before the goal, same thing. Tries to rush the puck forward on two Oilers players. And it was like, what are you doing? You're just turning the puck over. And
I mean, I know
Edmonton looked good in OT, and I thought, man, there is no way the Blues come out with 2 points here.
I know the Blues are a score on the rush team, but still, you know, you can't force the issue in overtime, especially when possession is so important in overtime. You know, you rush it, you force the issue, you're going to turn the puck over. And you want to, unfortunately, the right play is to come into the zone. If it ain't there, back it out and come back in again, you know, and try and get them in a line change or whatever, you know, just keep coming back into the zone until it looks right and then go for it. Don't force the issue. And there's no reason to in overtime because you've got possession of the puck. It's hard to get the puck back if the other team has it and is being very patient.
No, somebody did call me out when I said that I didn't think they looked very good in overtime. Somebody did say when you're playing Edmonton, you pretty much have to do different things in overtime because of McDavid, Draisaitl, Hyman. And I get that to a certain extent.
Well,
but you still need to play hockey the right way. And all they were doing was causing turnovers. And again, they got lucky with Saad jumping off the bench where he was on the bench, first of all, to jump out and be able to take that puck and then come in on Skinner and make the move he did. But before that, Kyrou almost caused a turnover that would have led to a 2-1-0. And thank God that didn't happen.
In overtime, the best way to play Edmonton is to play it slow and maintain the puck, to not let them have the puck at all. I don't know what that person was wanting, that was talking to you, was wanting the Blues to do, to force the issue. And you're just going to turn the puck over and give the most skilled players in the NHL the puck. In my mind, you want to hold on to the puck as long as you can so they don't touch it. And that line change by Saad, well, he's going to be on that end of the bench anyway. Like,
right.
That's your job, you know, because you want to be, you know, towards the goal side.
But I'm saying even placement exactly where he jumped on the ice, like even one person over, I don't know if that play still happens. He was in the exact position he needed to be in.
Yeah. Yeah, and it came off, kind of a muff play by Ekholm, who had such a hell of a game for the Oilers otherwise, right? Almost won it at the death in regulation, had the, you know, screenshot goal in the first period. But there was no good feeling through that overtime.
No, and not at all.
When the puck just happened to get on his stick, I'm like, okay, was it outside?
I know.
Oh, right. You know, is this coming
or too many men? Cause they were changing at the time.
Right. Right. Was Shen far enough off the ice? And you know, the replays were great. And we were able to celebrate that. I did want to say though, we didn't really talk about the tying goal. I did not like the tying goal. I didn't like Binnington on the tying goal. I thought that's a play where he's got to think he tried to take it into his own hands. He's got two defensemen that are going to try to cut McDavid off, and he tries to go for the poke check instead of knowing that Leon Draisaitl is at the back door, right? You know, that's the play. And he tried to take it into his own hands and tried to take it. Gidget hates it too.
Yeah. I tell.
But yeah, did not, I thought that he should have stayed tight on the goal line and, be ready to push over to cut that pass off when it gets to Draisaitl. But he tried to go for the poke check.
The angle that the pass came and the angle that the Draisaitl was at, do you think he has a chance at making that save anyway?
Yes. Yes. If he doesn't go for the poke check, he can push off and get the glove back over. But because he went for the poke check, his momentum is more forward, much harder to reach behind, make the save.
Would that have been save of the week?
I think it would have been.
Yeah. The poke check kills him here. I mean, he went for it and he didn't get it. And then also, you know, everyone's going towards Draisaitl, right? McDavid. Yeah. And no one's paying attention to Draisaitl on the far side, who, I mean, we've got, I'm looking at it right now. It's like, we got 1, 2, 4 players converging on McDavid and nobody's on Draisaitl.
Yeah.
So Bill, let me ask, if that is, I don't know, let's say Columbus and it's Johnny Gaudreau and Patrick Laine, do you think Binnington's playing that differently?
Probably not. I think it's his aggressive nature that makes him want to dig it in, you know, control the whole thing. But I
think he just goes for the poke check too early. I don't mind him going for the poke check here, because if he gets his paddle flat on the ice, that puck doesn't get across. But he just goes too early. I'm looking at it, I'm like, yeah, he reaches out way too soon.
He's over the last few games, he's had a couple of bad attempts at the poke check. Back to the Calgary game, he tried it on Kuzmenko on one of the goals, and you know it's good when you can use it as a surprise, but when you're using it every game, you know, you quickly get a book built on you. That's what he's going to go for it at some point. So get in tight and let him do it and beat him. And I mean, McDavid doesn't need a book on anybody. He's the smartest and most talented player in the league. So it's to me, it was just wrong time to try to go for it there.
Yeah. Okay. I see your point. You're right. Yeah, I think that definitely would have been save of the week, though. Could you imagine, especially with the two players involved, McDavid and Draisaitl, and a beauty push across glove save on Draisaitl? Oof, that might have been save of the year.
Yeah, but instead, we have a different save of the week.
Mary Woodruff Ponder says, "Hi guys, hello mom," and the Baked Beaver, who I believe has met my mom, says, "Hi Mama Ponder." There you go.
So there, we touched earlier on the outrage from Oilers fans over the reviews and the reffing in this game and how the referees just handed it to the Blues. Justin Scott, friend of the show, Justin Scott, shared on Twitter, and I'll pull it up here, some screenshots that he has. From say, what an absolute disgrace. This is a Oilers fan. The NHL officiating is pretty tough to win when you have to win the game two times in 60 minutes. Another one is refs won that game. Another one is Bahahaha Blues home game. Obviously, the Squirrels found the nut. Ha ha ha. Raw Oilers, Knights, Jets, and Kings playoffs, basically. Okay. And then Blues, Bettman's favorite team. Remember that one before.
Whoa.
Poor Blues fans acting like they won the cup when the team won't even make the playoffs. The refs gave you guys this game. Don't act like your team, I guess, you know, earned this game. The rest was cut off.
This was
in a nutshell. This was times 10,000 on Twitter. These were all over the place. All over the place. And it's like, you know, what is the hang up for Oilers fans? They're in great playoff positioning, right? They got to whine and cry about losing a game on the road to a desperate Blues team that had to win this game and actually played well in this game against the Oilers and had two goals taken away, but they were legit. If you say otherwise, you're just blind. So and they're crying and whining like they're the ones on the bubble and needed this game. Come on. Think Oilers fans, big picture. You know, you guys are fine. You didn't need this game. Shut up. Shut the fuck up.
I mean, I get being upset over shit.
Being disappointed.
Shit happens. Being disappointed, being upset. And I even get the knee-jerk, fuck the refs kind of thing a little bit.
I don't.
But, I mean, come on. Use your brain and just understand that there was no... It wasn't like a player got kicked out of the game or something that was, you know, like a marginal call. Like, this wasn't a ref decided game.
You know, that
the shit that went on was because it was legally called the right way.
Was it the trip on Bennington on McDavid that was called? That what Edmonton's favorite? They got a power play out of that.
I was going to ask you guys that.
Was that
an actual trip?
I didn't think that was. I mean, his stick made contact with his legs. I think McDavid just went, tried to go around and lost an edge. Now the stick was there, so it looks like a trip. On replay, right. I don't think he trips him.
So they didn't even show that. And typically I've noticed when they don't Grubauer show the garbage. Replay.
Oh my
Grubauer God. Grubauer is garbage. We all know
he
that.
He gave up a hat trick to Trevor Moore.
Oh boy. God, Trevor Moore still in the league? Jesus.
3 minutes to go. 5-2 LA.
Well, anyway, so typically at Enterprise, when they don't show a penalty against the Blues, it's a bad call. And so they would not show the replay of that Bennington trip. And I'm like, okay, clearly, because we all thought the same thing. We were like, we saw him circle the net and then he fell. And I saw the referee's arm go up and I go, did anyone even touch him? And I didn't think they did. I was going to ask you guys.
I think a stick made contact, but it was one of those like ticky tack things where maybe McDavid's trying to avoid the stick, but any he loses an edge and Bennington sticks there, so it's going to get called. I don't have a big problem with the call because it looks like a trip, but it's I don't think it is. But you know, that's getting called anyway, regardless. By the Oilers fans should be like, okay, that really wasn't a trip, but we got a power play out of it.
No, if there's a call that goes because of, you know, that the refs have it in for anybody, it's, you know, the best player in the league just went down on a marginal play. He's getting the benefit of the doubt. Sure. on that call. You know, I'm not going to complain about it. Right. It's 50-50. You know, you get some, you don't get some, you know. I think McDavid's going to get that more often than not.
And I'm not upset about the call because it's a fast game and the stick's out there and he goes down at full speed. I'm sure it looks like a trip and I don't blame the officiating. I think people have unrealistic expectations from the officials anyway. It's a fast game and it's the nature of the game. It leads to a lot of missed calls. This is the way it is. It's always been that way. Nothing new about this. Bad calls, missed calls, they happen all the time. That's why replay has been being used for the past so many years because, you know, stuff gets missed. Bad calls are made, and reviews tend to help fix that as far as goals go anyway. So I'm not, you know, now if Binnington didn't even put his stick out, you know, and he goes by and there's a trip call that was no stick involved there at all, then I have a problem with it because he's the official is looking for something that's not even there. But
well, so again in this game, Binnington 36 saves on 38 shots. Thought he played very well in this game for the most part, except for clearly that goal that Bill hated him on. Power plays, St. Louis 1-for-2, Edmonton 0-for-4. Thought the Blues penalty killing actually did a very good job in this game. But we are going to get to everyone's favorite segment. Bill, I hope you're ready. We are going to do our Bill Day save of the week. And this one comes on a breakaway against Leon Draisaitl in the middle of the second period. Bill, take it away.
All right. So breakaway, Draisaitl just came out of the box. Torpchenko had a turnover. And Ekholm fired it off the boards to a breaking Draisaitl. He had all of his momentum going to the corner. You know, I kind of telegraphed it a little bit when he, you know, goes for the half kick, go to the backhand at the hash marks. But what I love about this and why this is our save of the week is how well Binnington tracks it. I mean, if you watch that and this slow motion angle that we have right here, he looks like a protractor, right? It's like he is spinning in time with Draisaitl going to the backhand. And it's just a thing of beauty to watch how controlled he is. He doesn't kick too far. And he if you see the separation of the skate and the pad at the bottom, right? When I grew up playing, we didn't, you know, everything was so super tight. You would never see that. That would just feel so wrong to have the skate come so far off the pad as he's pushing. But look at that extension. Cuts it off, you know. Draisaitl probably, if he, you know, he's got that, you know, 6-inch blade, 6-inch vertical blade, could easily have gone backhand up a little bit higher. But look at the glove tracking too, right? He pushes him all the way to the corner and gets the pad out. Just an absolute beauty of a save, and turned out to be a very timely save as well. So
I was gonna say that I think I liked his glove positioning there because I think his glove positioning took away that attempt at a backhand roof shot.
Yeah, absolutely. And made Draisaitl think twice.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Beautiful glove save, right?
Nice.
Beautiful
glove. Look at that trapper. That trapper.
Oh, yeah. So no, Matt,
I'll say
Matt Harris said he's collecting goalie gear now too. So, I'll show me mine if you show me yours. That's the saying, right? So
there you go.
Yeah. So
man, I'll say the beauty of that save to me wasn't even really the save, like, because it wasn't the best shot really from Draisaitl, but it's because Binnington didn't give him anything. he stayed with him. It was the tracking by Binnington to be able to read what Draisaitl was thinking. Because as a defenseman, and Bill, tell me, I'm sure it's much different for goalies. And Kurt, maybe you've heard the same as playing any defense that you've played. Always told,
what's that?
We were always told growing up, watch their eyes. Their eyes are going to tell you where they're going. And you watch Draisaitl's eyes in that play, he's not giving you anything. But Bennington's able to read his body and say, he's going to go to the backhand. I need to try and take away all this net as he skates to the backhand. Because he had plenty of time to make a move. And Binnington just stayed with him. And then the other goal, too, is the fact that a lot of times when goalies go down like that in that position, the skate will pop up, right? Like every now and then, it's completely accidental. The skate will pop up. Binnington's skate is on the ice. Like the side of his skate is on the ice the whole time. So there's not a hole for him to slide that under. Just, again, just beautiful tracking from Binnington. Absolutely love that save, and I'm glad you picked that one. Ken Morris, Bill, many thanks for doing the segment. Adds a lot of value and interest to an already great YouTube channel. Thank you, Ken.
Thank you very much, Ken. Yeah, I absolutely love this. When we decided to introduce this, yeah, it's, coinciding with my, reigniting the fire inside of me to want to get back on the ice and, probably wind up pulling my groin trying to do what Binnington did, but
have someone else pull it instead.
There you go. It's much better.
True. Right. Much better.
All right. So next up for the Blues, and we will mention too, the Kings did officially win. For those of you who may be watching live that are not watching hockey as well, so the Blues are now 5 points back again. But each, if they win tomorrow night,
5 points
back down to three.
Yeah, 5 points, and each the Kings and the Blues have 7 games remaining. So if the Blues win out and win all 7 games, that's 14 points. And if the Kings would have to go, what, 4-3-0, right? And that would give the Blues, 6 points, and they would pass them by one. So if the Kings go 4-3, the Blues got to win out.
Yeah. And
it's a long road at this point. Yeah. It's a tough battle, but the Blues, all they can do is control their own destiny. Yeah. So they just got to win.
I think the Kings own the tiebreak too in points. So if the Kings go 4-2-1, then the Blues can't catch them.
Hotar 12 says SRH, which is the league we play in, needs a goalie on occasion. Hotar, you are barking up the wrong tree. Bill Day is a smart man. He does not play roller goalie. So
yeah, I like my hips a little too much.
Yeah. I always say that, and I think I've even pissed off some roller goalies, and I'm like, I don't understand why you play roller goalie. It does not make sense to me. It does not seem fun. I've done it. It's not fun. Yeah. I don't get it.
You just got to put armor all on your pads.
Yeah, that's what it is. Sure, the Reeks would love that.
That happened to us.
That was the guy who plays the Sunday morning Edwardsville Y game.
Yeah, and you go to skate through the crease or just outside the crease, wherever the remnants is, and it gets on your wheels, and it's like, fuck.
Oh, yeah. Fuck that. I know.
Yeah.
I've known a few people who've wound up with hip injuries from that, right?
Crappy goalie. Had some terrible hips because of it.
Yeah. Kurt's cousin, Jeff. He was a stellar roller hockey goalie. Used to play travel. Went out to San Jose for a tournament at, was it Link Gates Rink?
San Jose. It was in San Jose.
Yeah, San Jose. It was who was the enforcer that owned the rink that they played at?
Oh, I don't know. I forgot.
I don't know if it was Link Gates or somebody like that. But he was phenomenal.
The last time
he injured his hip.
Well, the last time Jeff played was at All-American on my team there. And that's when they gave us the wrong date for the playoffs, and we showed up and they were already over. And we were by far playing better than the other team in the league, and we had the best goalie.
Yeah.
And we that got was, fucked.
Yeah. By Phil Maroon.
By Phil Maroon. Yep. The fucker.
Yep. I love how many times I've heard this story.
It's been three years since we've told it. Right?
It's topical too because it's fucking Phil Maroon who fucked us over. I was in the office at All American arguing with Phil Maroon over this about what needs to be done for us. I'm like, we need a free session. They didn't give it to us. We didn't play there again.
Of course not.
Oh. We didn't play there again.
Free session. You think any league would ever give that away? Oof.
They fucked us. Two teams. Yeah. Us and another team. Two teams didn't show up for the 14 playoff. Fucking monkeys fucking a football in that place.
There it is. I've been waiting for it. Thank God it showed up on the show.
I'm not going to talk for like a minute or a minute and a half. About to chew a yellow starburst here. So,
all right. Well, you can let Bill and I take it from here. So next up for the Blues. And again, these are all games that the Blues pretty much we need to just say they need to win out at this point. Thursday at Nashville, which is probably the toughest game on the schedule for the Blues coming up because they are just absolutely barn burning the league right now.
Are they at 20 yet? 20 games without or with a point?
No, they lost the other day.
It's 20. Yeah.
I think they lost a couple recently, haven't they?
But Nashville, still one of the best teams in the league right now, though, playing like one of the best teams in the league. Thursday, 7 o'clock, big game for the Blues. I think we can all say at this point, again, most important game of the season at this point. They have to win this one.
Remember last time we played the Predators? It was the most important game of the season, and we shit them.
Tough game.
And it put them and it sent them on their ridiculous run, too.
Yep. They have not played Nashville well this year at all. Was the Black Friday game was ass kicking, right? That was like 8-2 by the Predators.
Yep.
So the Predators lost. Well. The Predators lost to Boston 3-0 on Tuesday, and they lost to Colorado 7-4 on Saturday. So, and they lost to Arizona Thursday 8-4. So they've lost 3 in a row.
Oh, so they won't be hungry for a win.
Not at all.
No. Yeah. Saturday they will play San Jose. So you expect that to be a loss, right? 5 o'clock.
Right. That's an afternoon game in San Jose.
Fuck that game.
Yeah. Yep. That's going to be a rough one to watch probably. So Saturday, 5 o'clock St. Louis time. They are in San Jose. Sunday they are at Anaheim at 7 o'clock, St. Louis time. And then Wednesday they play the Chicago Blackhawks at 7 o'clock at Enterprise Center. All games coming up again, huge Nashville, San Jose, Anaheim, Chicago, Nashville being the tough one. The other three should conceivably be victories for the Blues. But again, we've all seen how they do against bottom feeding teams. So hopefully they'll play well.
The Kings schedule, who they have coming up is, let's see, they play San Jose tomorrow.
Yeah.
And so that's, which makes tomorrow's Predators game, you know, if it wasn't important enough already, you know, you have to win. Otherwise, you're down by 7 because they're probably going to be at San Jose. And so they play Vancouver on Saturday. So
that's their tough game.
Yeah. And you're hoping like hell that San Jose can beat the Kings and then you can beat the Predators and you'll be within 3 and then Vancouver, right? Vancouver takes care of business on Saturday. And obviously the Blues have to keep winning. But, yeah, San Jose would be a nice little wrench to throw into their system if they can pull it off on Thursday. But I'm not going to hold my breath on that one.
No, me neither. It'd be nice to see them get an unlikely loss. You know, like San Jose blows about 8-0. You know,
yeah.
Like, that'd be fucking awesome to see. But I don't think the Blues have that kind of luck.
And then Vancouver, Anaheim, then they play Calgary next Thursday. And then Anaheim again next Saturday. And then Minnesota and Chicago. So
you're saying there's a big game coming up between LA and Vancouver.
Yeah. I mean, they have to lose to Vancouver on Saturday. You think if they beat Vancouver on Saturday, we're done because that's the game they have to lose.
Right. You know? That's the most likely game for them to lose.
Yes. And maybe to Calgary, maybe to Minnesota. I don't know. I mean, If they lose those three games, if they lose those three games, the Blues win out, then we make the playoffs.
It's times like this that I wish I could just like wave my magic wand, make it all work. And it's like last seven games of the season, seven game series, Blues and Kings for a playoff spot. Like, wouldn't that be fucking awesome if like that's how sports worked? Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, you just can't make the logistics of that work. But God, I would love it. Like that's a playoff series within a season. I mean, why not? Let's do it.
Like, yeah, that second wild card spot is reserved for the bottom two teams, the teams that two teams that could make it. Huh.
That would be awesome.
One play in game, winner take all.
Oof. I don't like that with hockey, but
I mean, and
but it would be interesting.
If you're going to add a layer to the playoffs, it cannot be anything more than a best two of three, because that the NHL playoffs are grueling already.
Yeah.
Well, I know. That's why I was saying a single game.
Yeah.
But you know, and just have it like be a play in game. You know, that last wild card spot is or have some kind of caveat. You know, if the team that currently holds a second wild card spot is less than 5 points ahead of the team below them, there's a play-in game or something. I don't know. If it's close, then have a play-in game. Whatever. I don't know.
That has been just discussed, but
just pitballing.
I don't foresee the NHL doing anything like that anytime soon. I know the
They've already got the two wild card spots, which was, you know, it's good. I like the wild card in each conference. I like it. It's worked out well.
Right. The game after the Blackhawks, though, man, that one, Carolina this late in the season, I hate it.
That's just, we talked about that last week. Like, what the fuck is that? Come on. Like, you don't need interconference at this point. Like, in this point of the season, it should be, I think conference games should be done by February, honestly. Like, fucking march on. It is all fucking, you're playing within your division or even just within your conference.
You're probably hoping that Carolina's spot is solidified and that game means nothing to them. But, and it might be. I mean, they're 5 points behind the Rangers for first in the division, and they're way ahead of Philly. So it might not mean anything to them. So
you want to be playing your best hockey going into the playoffs. That's what
I know,
coach
but
is telling them.
True, but it's not the last game though. It's like three games before the last game. So I don't know. The mindset, you know what I mean, is like they may not take it as serious as the Blues would.
Yeah, they. I mean, we went there and beat them, so. I would not be surprised if they don't come here and beat us.
Yeah, and we've talked about that before.
It's a home
game. There is something to be said about beating a team and like being a reason they're knocked out of the playoffs. That gives you a nice little jolt. So I could see them getting up for that game for sure.
I think it probably applies more to teams who have no shot at the playoffs, like
the San Jose's of the world.
Yes. Being spoilers for teams who are trying to get in, as opposed to a team who has a spot wrapped up and they don't get in another conference and they don't give a fuck. You know what I mean?
That's true.
It's probably a little different.
So speaking of the Eastern Conference, we'll jump into our rapid fire tidbits from around the NHL. Before we get into tonight's game between the Rangers and Devils, I forgot to put this in the notes here, so going to spring this on you guys. Did you see who Toronto signed? Phil Kessel returning.
They need another hot dog vendor?
Because he was supposed to sign with Vancouver.
Yeah, they did the tryout, and I guess they were not impressed with him.
But Toronto, yeah, why not?
I think it's so interesting because he has kind of been like shoving it in the face of Toronto with his Stanley Cups, and now he's going back. So, I mean... He's getting paid. I'm sure he's happy to do that, but he probably won't even see much playoff time. But it is interesting to see Phil Kessel returning to the Toronto Maple Leafs. So Rangers and Devils had a very interesting night tonight. They opened their game tonight with a 10-player line brawl. It was a 5-on-5 brawl, and it kicked off beginning of Wednesday's game. 8 players were ejected. The fights were expected as Rangers rookie enforcer Matt Rempe and Devils' Curtis McDermott were both in the starting lineup. The two fought one another in their last matchup. The only people from the line brawl that did not get a game misconduct were Curtis Lazar of the Devils and Rangers' Jimmy Vesey. Less than 5 minutes later, though, there was another fight with Dawson Mercer going up against Will Cooley.
You want to share it? I can share it.
Yeah, if you have it, go ahead.
Yeah, let's share it and see if we get the feed shut down. If we go off the air suddenly, it's because we're getting flagged for showing this line brawl. All right, I'm not gonna put the volume on, so we can even do commentary.
Oh, hey, April Fools! Phil Kessel was not signed by the Maple Leafs. God damn it! I got had. I'm sorry.
Oh, wow. Call
Matthew Carpenter.
April Fools! So you were had 2 days ago.
I saw it today.
For 2 days.
Yeah, I saw it today, and I'm stupid. Let's talk about this instead.
Yeah. So this is.
Yeah. This is. They're
not really
brawl.
Showing the entire ice. Show the ice. Show a wide angle.
Yeah, they're not showing the whole ice. They show fight by fight, which is annoying as hell.
Yeah. Why do that?
Like, we didn't have this all the time back in the early 2000s.
Yeah, I want to see everybody. I want to see all the sticks and gloves in the ice.
All the cameramen are like, you know, what do we do? What do we do? Oh my god!
Like, there's so much going on.
Well, I love this shot of Shesterkin too.
Right, he wants to go.
Yeah. Yeah, he was trying to get I don't know who was it started for Devils, but yeah, he was trying to get him to go and he wouldn't go.
Was it Jake Allen? Because that'll never happen.
No. Actually, God, that's a great call. Let's see. Was it Jake Allen?
Oh, yeah. They're just showing the one fight. Just move it.
It was
terrible camera work. Terrible camera work. Because a line brawl, they only showed a few fights. That's good stuff. When's the last time we saw this happen?
There was they said it was between the Rangers and Hurricanes, I think, back in 2021.
So. Yeah. That's what came to my mind.
And this was
TNT and then the coaches got into it too. And it was funny because Darren Pang's like starting to talk, and I think they had to cut his mic because you could hear the coaches screaming at each other.
See, who doesn't love this stuff? I love this stuff. Yeah, they are going at it, those coaches.
Oh, look at Laviolette.
Yeah.
Oh, do the Patrick Waugh push through the glass. Or no, that was Calgary with it. Yep. They knocked the glass over.
Man, this is, I know who'd win that fight. Well, they both like pussies, but.
Yeah, Travis Green is the second he retired, he was like aged 20 years.
Second fastest fight in the MSG.
Second fastest fight, yeah.
Yeah, 2 seconds into the game. Fastest with 1 second.
All fighting majors, Curtis Lazar, Jimmy Vesey, John Marino, Keandre Miller, Kevin Ball, Barclay Goudreau, Chris Tierney, Jacob Trouba, Matt Rempe, and Curtis McDermott all got fighting majors. Misconducts handed out to Rempe, Ball, Goudreau, McDermott, Trouba, Tierney, Miller, and Marino. So how about that? They get 2 seconds of ice time.
Why misconducts?
Because it was a fight 2 seconds in, man. You can't have that. Right.
They, why not? They lay the law down.
Why not? That's
the NHL now, man.
This isn't the 80s, man.
Give them 5 minutes and move on. I don't get it.
No, I agree, but that's not how the NHL works anymore.
They're managing a powder keg.
See, but here's the thing. They allow fight. I mean, they allow fighting. Yeah, they give 5 minutes of fighting, but any other sport that has a fight, you got guys kicked out of the game, suspensions, right? The NHL allows for fighting because they have a penalty in the books for it. There's the wide angle. That's better. So, and then five minutes.
That is the opening draw. Wasn't there a report there was another fight not too long after that?
Yeah, there was. Yeah, there was. Who was it? Dawson Mercer and Will Cooley.
He caught one right away.
Yeah.
Those are the heavyweights.
Oof. Oh, man, that's a miss.
Good, Oh, that was a good one there.
Connected.
Oh, right as the video cut. Oh, there we go. That's pretty good.
Yikes. That's a good fight. Good stuff.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. That's what fans want, man. And if you're going to allow fighting in hockey, then it seems weird that you're going to, okay, well, in this fight, it's a misconduct out of the game. Why? All willing participants. That's weird to me. Like a scripted fight, right?
They're doing what they can to get rid of fighting. That's why.
Well, then they should say no 5-minute penalty, a fight kicked out of the game, and a possible suspension.
I think that needs to be bargained. I think that needs to be collectively bargained.
Well, but they could have done that at any time during any of the collective bargaining, the CBA agreements that they've negotiated.
Yeah, but the NHLPA is not going to go for that because certain players like Matt Rempe would never have a job.
Well, I know, but they have this in place where they're kicking guys out of the game, so they allow for that.
Referee's discretion. I don't know. I'm not defending it. I'm just saying.
This is the
NHL now.
No, I understand. I just don't. I understand what the call is. I just don't think it should be a thing. It's because you're allowing fight. If you're allowing fighting, allow fighting. You know what I mean? Don't kick them out of the game for it. I mean, who cares if it's a scripted thing where they fight right the face off? That happens all the time, or it used to.
I don't even think it was like truly scripted. I mean, I guess maybe McDermott and Rempe because they're the heavyweights.
You don't think it was scripted? Everybody went at once?
I don't think it was like, hey, like in warmups, like, hey, let's all fight at opening puck drop. I think it was.
I bet you
those two knew they were going to, and everybody else was like,
I bet you there was chirping going on, and everybody just knew it. I bet you it was just the vibe on the ice was just there.
Well, I think it's weird that there's only two players on each team. Well, one player from each team not ejected. Like, mm-hmm. What kept those two players from getting ejected?
That's my thing. It seems so arbitrary if you're going to allow fighting, allow fighting. If you want to, you know what I mean? Don't be tossing people out of the game. Give them the 5 minutes. Or you're throwing some people out, but not others.
Yeah, it was Jimmy Vesey, the smallest guy in all of those fights that didn't get tossed. But
take a fan poll.
You're not gonna put both teams down an entire line for the game. I think that's the logic of why you pick two guys not to throw out
again. It's arbitrary though. It's so random. It's stupid.
But you threw out an entire defensive pairing for each team, so you only have four defensemen for the whole game.
Yeah,
that sucks.
And my thing is, if you're going to allow fighting, give them 5 minutes and be done with it. I mean, that's just let them fight.
But that's the thing. They don't want to allow fighting, but it would be too unpopular a move to outlaw fighting, so you do things like this to greatly discourage it going forward.
And I understand. I don't think it's a thing. I don't understand why this hasn't happened in previous CBAs if they want to get rid of fighting. It's like they're just being pussies about it.
I think that it has been a conversation, but the PA will never accept it. Because again, that means people are going to be out of jobs. So Ryan Reeves would be been long out of the league.
They have a crazy rule that says Matt Carpenter shares that says if another fight breaks out after the original one starts, you get a game misconduct. They use that here. I hate it. Well, how many did they throw out? Two for each team?
No, four.
They threw out four. Four players from each side.
Okay. See.
So, by that logic, the two that shouldn't have been thrown out. Should have been Rempe and the two that started because they're the original fighters.
Yes, yeah. So it wasn't even so much that rule. It was just they wanted to get the shit disturbers out of it.
Yeah.
So whatever. It's bullshit. I mean, everybody knows it. It's bullshit. It's not
the league we grew up with.
No, take a fan poll if you want to. If this game is for the fans, take a fan poll. Do you want to see fighting? brought back in hockey. What do you think the percentage would be?
It's CTE. That's the reason why. They're too concerned about CTE, and they're going to get sued by former fighters.
They will never say that.
You know what? I haven't done the research. I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I'm going to say that fighting doesn't really cause CTE a lot of other stuff does. Like each shift, the checks that you throw, the against the glass, the banging of the bodies, that jars your body more than a fight does. And typically your fighters and your shit disturbers are the ones who are throwing their weight around on the ice too. So they're also, you know, throwing more checks typically. So I'm thinking that when you fight somebody, most of the time, the punches aren't like clocking people. They're grazing the helmets and they're.
Kurt, this is the long going hockey debate that you are having right now.
Yeah.
Most people would agree with you, but I think it's that Bettman and the NHL can literally point to, we take fighting out, which is fists to the face and guys being knocked on the ice. Like, that is what's causing it. But I agree with like what Justin Scott says. Oh. They don't want fighting, but they'll allow them dirty hits from behind into the boards or slew footing. I agree. That is the shit that needs to be out of the game.
Well, they give suspensions for those. Typically.
To me,
They're not strict enough on the
right. The George Parros is still, you know, it's a kangaroo court. And it's very inconsistent as to how the wheel of discipline plays out. But to me, you know, the really painful evidence is the suicides of the former enforcers, right? There have been way too many of those to say that there is no tie to fighting. They fought their entire careers back to juniors, and they've taken a hell of a lot of punches to the head. I don't like that argument that it's not the fighting that causes it.
I'll say this. I'm not saying, and this is just strictly me speculating in my opinion. I'm sure it contributes. Okay. But you don't think that the banging, during their shifts, banging bodies, throwing heavy hits against the boards, against the glass, whatever, you know, plays a bigger role in CTE. I mean, I think that makes sense. Obviously, any shots to the head is going to, repeatedly, is going to cause a problem. But and fighting is going to contribute to it. But the percentages, I don't know. But it seems to me like if you're out there, and those are the guys that typically, like I said, you know, throw their weight around and throw big checks. So I would think that may have. I don't know, and I'm not a doctor on this by any means. There's nothing. I'm just speculating, and I could be wrong, but it seems to me that the constant checking might play a bigger role than the occasional fight. But you know, a good shot to the head can give you a concussion too. So from punch,
look at boxers,
right?
Yeah, I know.
Boxing.
They take. I mean, that's all they do.
Right. And there's a lot of CTE football. In boxing, right?
And football
right.
players.
Yeah. And that I think can support the argument that it's the body weight being thrown around, right? It's Junior Seau, right?
Yeah. Hitting the ground, all right. That stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. That stuff is just super rough. Right. And, you know, the one thing that, you know, I think I've said it to you guys. I don't know if I said it on the show. The one piece of equipment in my attempted, you know, return to the ice that I am not going to skimp on is a fucking helmet. Mm-hmm. Right. I am going to pay top dollar for the best concussion proof helmet that I can get.
Are you going to wear a neck guard?
Yes. I always did.
Did you? I'm trying to think.
Yeah. Okay. I always did. Not you know, when I played roller. But you know, ice hockey, yeah, I always did.
Okay. I need to still buy the War Road.
Yeah,
TJ I really Oshie's need to invest company. In one of those.
You,
yeah,
you, you
I,
a,
I do want
you a plastic piece, Bill, or you the form fitting like the piece of the apparel.
I actually used to do both. So okay. I had the dangler back when I wore the Tommy Soderstrom Yofa. Nice. I had a dangler and I had a Vaughn. Back then, it was the only piece of Vaughn equipment I owned was the Vaughn neck guard. But yeah, I will wind up buying a cut proof compression shirt to wear underneath, and like. You know, it'll be the you know, something akin to what Brandon Saad wears, right?
Right.
The turtleneck look. Right. Yep. So
that's what I'm gonna be buying too eventually. I need to. But by summer. Summer starts May for my league. So yeah, I will be investing in one of those by then for sure. Because why not? I'm a beer league player, you know. Fucking guys can't skate, right? So might as well.
Yep.
All right. Anything else, boys?
No.
I don't think so. I think we have argued and debated enough.
I think it is the
and discussed
just perfect amount.
Just the perfect amount of arguing, debating, discussion, and yeah.
Yes, I agree. hopefully by this time next week, we're talking about the Blues being in the playoff picture. So we will see.
Boy, a lot is going to be answered by next show.
Yeah. I think so.
A whole lot.
Yeah. I honestly, after the loss to San Jose, I thought, you know, that all hope was lost. And then I realized, oh, the Kings are shitting the bed too. Yep. So,
yeah.
So I was surprised.
Seattle pull together tonight, but unfortunately that did not happen.
Yeah, fuck you, Philip Grubauer.
Yeah, God, he's awful.
So it's what's funny about this is that the Predators are only 1 point ahead of the Kings too. So they're right there. If they if they've lost three in a row, if they like shit the bed, then they might be in trouble.
Yeah,
if the Blues went out. So I mean,
right.
as big a run as the Predators went on, they're 6 points out of the Blues. Same amount of games played.
That would be interesting.
Would be interesting.
So that makes tomorrow's game like, oh my God. You know, it's massive.
Can't wait.
You beat Nashville and you're behind them by 4 points with six games to play. Yeah. I mean,
yeah. Justice Scott, Kurt, if they make it, you have to do the podcast without a hat.
I can put some hair jelly in the hair.
There you go. He's done it before. Watch an old show. He's done it.
Yeah. And not often, but yeah.
Say we're all typically hat wearers here.
Before. Yeah.
Little bit of the old Dapper Dan.
Yeah. I don't want fop, goddammit. I'm a Dapper Dan man.
Got Nandor DeLorenzis here with me.
Leave the Bennington bobblehead alone.
Yes, agree. Little Nandor.
Leave him alone.
Leave him alone. All right, guys.
Yeah, that'll be my thing. Sorry. If they make the playoffs, I will do the show without a hat. There we go.
Wow. What an outrageous claim.
I might not. Maybe I'll not shave something.
All right, how about this? How about I'll grow mine out for, I don't know, 6 hours. I'll shave it off, and then you have to, like, paste it on your face.
Oh, no, I'm not doing the jackass thing. Because you're going to use, like, pubic hair and give it to me.
I could.
Do you see that on Jackass? I've already...
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
I thought that was like a Swedish bachelor party like tradition, is all the guys would shave their pubes and the bachelor would have to wear another's face.
Is that really?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
That does not surprise me.
Don't get married in Sweden.
Apparently not.
Ugh.
All right, folks. Well, we're going to wrap her up. Hopefully the Blues will have a great show next week to talk about the Blues and their great winning streak. So we will see.
We'll see.
So Support for Let's Go Blues Radio is brought to you in part by ID Life, the world's only truly personalized vitamin platform based on health assessment of your DNA. Visit rocketnetidlife.com for more information. That's rocketnetidlife.com. And get 10% off by emailing Dustin at rockinthatidlife@gmail.com and tell him Let's Go Blues Radio sent you. And by Mike Burgoyne from Real Brokers Realty. Email him at mike@strikewithmike.com today for all your home buying and selling needs. That's mike@strikewithmike.com. That will wrap up episode 26 of season 13 of the original St. Louis Blues Hockey Podcast, Let's Go Blues Radio. Thanks for listening, and thanks to those who participated in the YouTube and Facebook live chats during the show. We hope you enjoyed it as much as we've enjoyed bringing it to you. For Kirk Price, Bill Day, and the once with us producer Austin, I'm Jeff Ponder, and this was Let's Go Blues Radio. Until next time, everyone, fuck the Kings, fuck the Predators, let's go Blues.
Let's go Blues.
Beat Nashville, let's go Blues.
If they make the playoffs, got to do a podcast with everyone in one room, says Zach Belanger. I'm in. I still have your Christmas presents, folks.
I did too. My your guys' gifts are upstairs.
Yeah. All right.
Mine are right behind me. So
right. There we go. All right. We will do it. We'll do it. Let's go, Blues.
Awesome.
The Chiefs are at home tonight against Cyanisport at the War Memorial at 8. Good seats are still available.
A look at sports.
I think that went very well.
Thank you for listening to Let's Go Blues Radio. Now take off, hosers.
I want you to have a heart attack and die so that we never have to do this shit again.
Well, there's 90 minutes of your life you'll never get back. Sorry.
St. Louis Blues. St. Louis Blues. Have you heard the news about our St. Louis Blues? Only just begun, they're on their way to number one. Now there's no more blues for our St. Louis Blues.
The Blues are on the ice tonight again. They're rough and tough and got the stuff to win. They'll always get one more, no matter what the score. They are quite a hockey team, my friends.